was right at Wisconsin and K Street in front of the Bayou. It used to be, I don't know if it's still there or not. But we're sitting there, and we're watching these two guys following these two girls, and it looks like they're going to grab their purse. So we're in the cruiser. I got the lights turned off, you know, and we're watching this thing that we think is going to happen. But the guys turn into the Bayou, and the girls walk to the corner of Wisconsin and K. And we pulled up beside them in the cruiser, and I can't say on the radio what they called us, but they called us narcs. They thought we were narcotic officers. So at that time, the call came out from a dispatcher at the time, was an old-time dispatcher. His name was Gabonich. He come on the air and he says, I need a car and an official to respond to talk to the guard down at the Watergate. He found some tape on a door. Well, one of the things you do as the old clothes unit sergeant, you study the 24-hour crime reports. You better know them religiously, because you meet with the deputy chief at least once a day and you go over the crime patterns. You meet with the crime analysis people. Officer Patterson was our crime analysis officer. And you go over the crime patterns, what's occurring on the street. So you get this 24-hour crime report every day, and you keep them, and you go over them. Well, I knew when the call went out, I knew we'd had a break-in there Memorial Day weekend. As Gordon Liddy says, he said, everybody says we're 0-for-1, meaning they got locked up first time they went in there. Well, they went in May. That's when they put the bugs in place. And like Liddy says, he says, well, we're actually 1-for-1, you know. But we knew there was a break-in on the 6th floor and 8th floor, so we respond to the Watergate. Now, they have a lookout guy by the name of Baldwin. He's on the 6th floor of the Howard Johnson looking directly into the committee or the Democratic National Committee headquarters. He's looking right in on the 6th floor there, eyeball to eyeball. He sees us pull up in the cruiser, but the car did not look like a police car. It was probably the oldest cruiser on the department they gave me. And we used to only have one antenna on the back. And what I would do, I would bend the antenna down so it wouldn't stick up. You could still monitor and answer calls, but you couldn't see it. If a thief's on the street and he's looking around, he couldn't see that antenna the way it was. So we pull up, and we don't jump out and run up with our guns out, nothing. We just walk up because you respond to so many calls like this to turn out to be nothing. So we walk up. We meet the officer, the guard, Frank Wills, and he's got another guard with him who was a guard by the name of Helms from the 8th floor. So he starts talking about the tape on the door. He found the tape on the door. He took it off, and he left his post, and he comes back about a half hour later because he's starting to panic now, and he finds the tape on the door again, and he's thinking that his supervisor is checking on him because it was an exit door down near the ramp that goes down to underground parking. But right across from that ramp is an entrance to the Watergate. So he shows us all this, and of course I'm thinking, well, we had a break-in on the 8th floor and the 6th floor. So we go straight up to the 8th floor, we check the door, and there is tape on the door, same type of tape. So now, you know, at that point, your blood's kind of pumping because you're thinking it's another break-in, and we're right on top of them, whoever they are. So we go in, and we check the 8th floor pretty fast, and we're flipping on lights and just going down the hallways, just flying, me, Barrett, and Schaffler. And the two security guards, they stayed by the door. I told them, I don't want them in there. Stay by the door. Well, Baldwin, the lookout guy, sees all the lights going on, and he kind of panics. He said, what's going on the 8th floor? Well, Liddy and Hunt are in the hotel room, 214 of the Watergate. They're monitoring all this on their walkie-talkies. But the guys inside, the five gentlemen we locked up inside, they're not listening to that because they turned it off so they could hear better. They didn't want the noise from the walkie-talkies. So they're inside, and they're not paying any attention to the walkie-talkies. These are the five that was inside the Watergate at the time. And Liddy says to, or Hunt, whichever one, says to the lookout guy, Baldwin, he says, well, what are you talking about? The light's going on. And he said, well, all the lights are coming on the 8th floor. And they look at their watches, and they said, well, don't worry about it. That's just the 2 o'clock guard making these rounds, Helms. So we come back to the stairwell, which we've entered. We've walked up 8 flights. I sent Barrett up to the 9th floor. I said, go up and check the 9th just to make sure. He goes up, Barrett. We drop down to the 7th. The door's tight. You can't get from the stairwell into the complex. You drop down to the 6th. We find the same type of tape on the door. Barrett yells down about that time. He said, there's no tape on the door on the 9th. I says, come on down, John. So at that point, I'm thinking, you know, if they're in front of us, they're in there, they can get to the elevator before we can, because we're way down on this end by the stairwell, and the elevator's kind of in the central middle part of the building. So I tell Helms and Wills, I said, you go back to the lobby where we met you, where your desk is. And I told Wills, I said, here's what I want you to do, Frank. I said, I want you to sit down at your desk, put your hand on the phone, and the minute you see those elevator lights come on, they could have gotten away from us up there. They could have beat us to the elevators. I want you to call the local police, call 911, tell them it's emergency, I need help down there. And so I sent them away. So we go on the 6th floor. We start a process, as many officers on the 6th floor. We start checking the 6th floor. We come to an area that's a balcony, and it looks out across Virginia Avenue at the Howard Johnson. And we go out on that balcony. At that point, we have our weapons out. He sees our weapons. Well, he panics really then. He goes on the walkie-talkie again. He's screaming. He said, how's our people dressed? How's our people dressed, or something like that? And Lydia Hunt, whoever answered him, said, well, they're dressed in suits and ties. He said, well, we got problems because there's 3 guys out here dressed like construction workers. I think that's what he described us as. And he said, they've got weapons. Well, at that point, we're back off of that area, and we're back in the main part of the Democratic National Headquarters. And we're probably at that point only 90-100 feet from them. Now, they hear us coming because we're kicking in doors. I mean, you don't take the time as you go by a small office like this and knock on the door and say, Mr. Hazelden, are you in? Please, we'd like to come in. You just kick the door in, because if somebody's trying to hide behind the door, what you should do, you should plant that door right in their face, and you don't have to deal with them, okay? So our adrenaline's pumping, and they hear us coming, and when we get into it's a big long room, and it's got, on this side, it's got a few desks. On this side, it's got these secretarial cubicles. It's got smoke glass around them. And there's 3 of them. And Barrett goes in first, and he heads for the front part of this room. I go to the right because he's got that covered. I'm covering him to the right, and Schaffner stays by the door covering our backs. Well, I go into the first cubicle. Of course, it's just a desk, a chair, and back then typewriters. There's nothing there. I start into the second one, and I see Barrett going to a crouch with his weapon, and he's yelling something. And to this day, I don't know if he was yelling, hold it, don't move. But I knew he'd made contact with somebody. So I run around to the next cubicle, and I jump up on the desk, and I see these 5 guys not in the front of the desk, because the back of the desk is right below me, and I'm over this piece of smoked glass with my weapon, and Barrett's right here in the corner, as it shows him, with his weapon. And we got these 5 guys, middle-aged guys, 2 appear to be either Cuban or Spanish, with Playtex gloves on, suits and ties. Well, you don't normally lock up people of that age for burglary. And plus, you're thinking through your mind, well, we had a break-in in May. This is the Democratic National Committee headquarters. I mean, what am I involved with here, you know?